With the 32nd pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
With the 30th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select T.J. Watt, linebacker, Wisconsin.
With the 67th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Alvin Kamara, running back, Tennessee.
What up, Snapback fam? We're back. It's the NFL Draft Series. On this episode, we sat down and talked to James Lynch, Defensive Player of the Year. Yes, Defensive Player of the Year in the Big 12 for the Baylor Bears. We talked what's good with my Texas Longhorns and why does Baylor keep beating up on us and a bunch of other things. We also got to talk to his teammate Denzel Mims during the draft series. So we asked James about that. We asked Denzel about James. It's a really fun back and forth. And then, of course, the snapback Wonderlic test. We took James for a spin on that one and projected out his future NFL career. So I hope you guys enjoy the interview. Let's get it. We are talking to James Lynch, D lineman from the Baylor Bears. I was just telling him how I went to the University of Texas. So I don't think we'll have any beef, but we'll see how this progresses.
No, let me interrupt you, Jack, right off the bat. So James, I noticed you're from Round Rock, Texas. Now I'm not necessarily familiar with Texas as a whole, but I have to ask you right off the bat, did you grow up a Cowboys fan?
No, I did not.
Okay, cool. Because I'm an Eagles fan, so I just wanted to just throw that out of the way. But that's
who
good
were you a fan? All right.
Whenever I was a kid, the Buffalo Bills selected Marshawn Lynch, and I thought it was cool. Wow. I could get a jersey that had the same last name as me, so I ended up picking the Bills. Like my
guy's name. So
once you pick a team, you have to stick with it. And I liked Marshawn Lynch when they picked him, so they're like, "All right, you're a Bills fan now." And I was like, "All right, we're all spread out over the NFL."
You could have gone with, I guess, at the time we were growing up around that age too. Could have been a Tampa fan with John Lynch.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I just happened to have seen whenever he's getting drafted, so it was more
right.
I guess prominent. Right. But yeah, that's my reasoning of why I was a Bills fan.
There you go.
So it's funny. I don't know if Marshawn's actually going to be in the league next year. I think the Seahawks brought him on a one year last year, kind of to just patch things up. But you are going to potentially be playing with some guys like you idolized growing up. Is that weird? How do you think you'll adjust to that when you make it to the league?
I wouldn't call it weird, but it would definitely be kind of like a interesting situation. But I mean, once you're kind of on the team, I feel like, and you kind of just settle in, and the first time you see someone like Marshawn Lynch, obviously, like, it'd be kind of like, holy, like, that's Marshawn Lynch right there. But I mean, right. It's the same thing going to college, like, or even at the combine, you meet coaches and stuff, but then you realize, like, we're all here for the same reason, we all have the same goal. So it's kind of like, yeah, they're obviously, like, they have a respect level that's above me, but I mean, we both want to play football, we both want to win. So at the same time, it's just kind of, you kind of become like brothers. That's how at least it was for me in my life so far.
So is there any like one player, like let's talk about your position specifically. Well, that's a tongue twister. At D tackle that you're like you have a feeling you'll see him and just be like kind of shell shocked the first time you guys obviously aren't going up against each other on the same side of the ball, but is there one guy that you've either tried to emulate your game off of or that you've just been a huge fan of at the D tackle position that you're most excited to get to go against?
Obviously, Aaron Donald is one of those guys. But for me, I grew up a Nebraska fan, so I watched a lot of Ndamukong Suh. He was like my favorite player. Basically, I had like a fat head of him and stuff. And I met him at the Nike opening camp my senior of high school. But seeing him, like being around him would be a cool experience for me because like that's kind of who I grew up watching and like kind of, I wouldn't say totally like made my game after because like I try and do everything. But like watching him like being disruptive and affecting plays and stuff was kind of the main reason why I felt like I got a lot more passion to play D-line and like it made me enjoy the game more, like watching him play and like seeing how much he was a positive effect for that defense and what he's doing in the league as well.
So did you grow up a Texas fan?
No, I was not. My dad is originally from Nebraska and he played there for a year. So we kind of have Nebraska. That was my team whenever I was growing up as well. Kind of odd teams. Not really many people would have suspected Nebraska and Buffalo Bills, but yeah. that's where I was.
So you mentioned Aaron Donald, you mentioned Ndamukong Suh, and I mean, right off the bat, when you mentioned Aaron Donald, you're training right now in Texas. We talked a little bit off the air. Does that training involve playing with knives like Aaron Donald does?
It does not. I did see that video, and that was pretty impressive. But I have not played with knives yet. I've focused more on just sticking to the pads and getting the basics down.
Yeah, I mean, some would call you old school, but I guess to each their own.
James, so we've talked to a couple people, and we kind of get the same vanilla answer, which is I ask, you know, who would you want to be drafted by? And they say it would just be a privilege to be in the league, which I'm not disagreeing with. I agree. That's, you know, that is amazing. But if you could pick, is it going to the Bills or is it going into a specific scheme that you think would fit you best?
I think one of the biggest things for me that would be if it was a perfect world and like I got everything I wanted, I think a good team would just stay in Texas just because my family, I like whenever my family's able to come watch me. It's not a big hassle right. for them to have to travel across the country. And like you said earlier, like to me, it doesn't bother me if I play for Seattle or if I go to the other, like New York, like I don't care where I am. I just want to play football, obviously. But if you gave me the option, I would pick Dallas or Houston just because it'd be easier for my family to see me. And I'd be on TV more for them to watch as well. So it's, for me, I'm a big family guy. So for that to be possible, that'd be kind of a nice thing to have.
Yeah, we'll call it Houston because I don't want to have to hate you. But a follow up to Jack's question, so we don't want to like give anything away about what goes on behind the scenes of getting working towards the draft and getting drafted. That being said, has Coach Rhule told you he's going to draft you yet?
No, he hasn't. I mean, at the end of our season, at Baylor, I would joke with him about it because of all the rumors and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we still have at the combine, I saw him a lot. So we have a really tight relationship and he talks to me and kind of just, I mean, obviously we don't talk about him drafting me and stuff. That's kind of weird. And I would never ask him that either. I mean, all I know is with him, he wants what's best for me. So if that's whether I'm in Carolina or wherever I am. So it's been nice to have him though. It's kind of like a helper, I guess, like to help guide me and kind of understanding what's like the processes and what's coming next and stuff. So it's nice to have them kind of like on my hip pockets where I can text them or call them or something.
Yeah, that is a very nice thing to have. And it'll be cool that you both are kind of starting off as rookies in the league. But you mentioned you saw him in Indy. What was the combine like? Did you train with anyone or in the combine drill see anyone that really just you were shocked by? Or how do you think your performance was up there?
I think so. My performance kind of was frustrating for me. Whenever I was running my 40, about halfway through, I kind of like my hamstring tightened up on me. So I didn't get to run like my full speed. So I ran probably like 80, 85% like for everything that I was doing. So I didn't get like the times I wanted, but I felt right. I was with the DN group actually, whenever I was like at the, in the drills and stuff, but I felt like I was moving well and I felt like I did everything and showed what I was capable of. So I was happy with it. It was a little frustrating, but overall, obviously, the experience was just, I mean, it was amazing. I was kind of, like I said, like fanboy. Like, I walk into a room and there's the whole Dallas Cowboys staff, and you're just like, whoa, like the Dallas Cowboys are talking to me. And then, like I said, you just realize it's football and just kind of just soak up this knowledge and information that they're giving you and just and try and use it to advance yourself. And then that's what I'm trying to do right now.
So, there's a lot that goes on at the combine. Not even that, because we see the 40-yard dash, the broad jump, the this, the that, the drills. But we don't see what goes on behind closed doors. Most notably, I remember last year, DK Metcalf, it went viral. He showed up shirtless because they said Pete Carroll would want him to. He showed up shirtless to his interview. I'm curious if there was one thing that happened in an interview, whether it was a question or someone asked you something, that was the weirdest thing the entire combine. Maybe it was one specific question.
For me, I heard all these stories. Most of mine were more about Coach Rhule and what they did with us and like something kind of funny that they would have done or something. So I didn't get many weird questions. It was I was suspecting that I would. The only time I ever did was we do this psych testing, the psychological stuff, and they'd kind of ask some odd questions of like whether you want to be a cat or a dog or like whether it's like this. That, it's like kind of just like weird stuff. So I didn't get any in actual interviews, but I would say one kind of funny thing that happened to me was I met Coach Taylor from the Bengals, and I was a Nebraska fan growing up. So me and him kind of hit it off. We're like talking about, I was like, I used to watch him and stuff like that. And the whole meeting was kind of joking around with him. So that was kind of one of the funnier situations I was in, but it was more football talk for me. At least I didn't have any kind of weird questions in those type of meetings.
Well, let me ask you, did you have to take the Wunderlich test?
I did.
Okay. And what'd you think of the test?
I mean, I'd done practice tests before, so I kind of I expected what happened. And obviously, just the only thing that's kind of hard about the test is there's 50 questions, and I think it's like 12 minutes. So trying to get as many done as possible. But it's not too terribly hard, but there's a couple of math questions that are a little tough.
Okay. Well, fortunately for you, we've prepared our own Wonderlic test that essentially will determine your success in the league. So you didn't get prepared for the test, but we want to test your ability to react on the spot. So are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Here's the first question. We've also put some other prospects through the test. I'm feeling fairly confident in you, though.
I don't know. I'm kind of worried now.
they're tricky ones. So don't get thrown off, because I took Abe through the test. I created it.
I didn't do too bad.
He did okay. But without further ado, all right. Question one. The Jenner mom, so Chris, right, Abe? That's her name.
Yes.
Has
oh yes, okay.
Has the girls? You know about the girls. Kim's one of them. So I'm not going to tell you how many they are, because the question is, if you dated all the Kardashian and Jenner children outside of Rob, how long, for 6 months each, how long would it take you to date them all?
I would assume that I think there's three, but I could be totally wrong. And I feel like since nobody's saying anything, I'm going to assume I'm wrong. But if it's three,
well, the thing is, it's probably an unfair question, because there are three Kardashians, but there's two Jenner girls, Kylie and I don't even know the other one.
Kendall.
Yes, yes.
So there's five. Does the mom count?
No. Just the girls.
Okay,
the girls.
So five.
6 months each. Once you get through that part,
there you go.
All right.
Question number two. Is an avocado a fruit or a vegetable?
I don't know. I think it's a vegetable, but I'm pretty sure it's a fruit. But the way it looks to me, it seems like more of a vegetable.
I'm going to give you a yes and a bonus point there, because you even acknowledge that you think the correct answer is fruit, which you got. And I agree with you. I think it's a vegetable. It's just
that. Yeah, it's in
the middle. Yeah, it's a little gray area with that thing.
Like tomatoes. Like everyone knows you're a vegetable deep down, but like in the books, you're a fruit. Like you're not fruit anymore.
Exactly.
All right. This is my favorite question. If you had $1 for every country in the world, how many Big Mac burgers could you buy?
Is a Big Mac? I couldn't tell you how much a Big Mac is.
Me neither. But we do have a set price in our head.
Okay. How many countries?
This is
I'm not going to even get close. If the Big Mac, I'm going to say it's probably like $4. There's no way it's that expensive, because McDonald's is amazing. It's like $4 or $5. Right. $1 for every country. Probably like 2.5, like 3. Because it'd be like, what is that? That's almost like 20 countries. 15.
Okay. All right. So you're pretty good.
I have no idea.
No, I totally feel you. This is what happens to everyone. So $4 for the Big Mac, you're the first person to get that correct. That is the standard pricing for Big Macs across the country. To my surprise as well, there's almost 200 countries, so 50 Big Macs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have topped out at about like 30 or 40.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, on to the next. What weighs more, 1,000 pounds of bricks or 1,000 pounds of feathers?
They're the same.
There we go. Okay, good.
Right. We're back on track.
I was ready for that one. There was one I was ready for, and it was that one.
Keep that mindset. This one, this one's important. What's longer, an NFL football or a $5 foot long?
Well, are you saying in what the foot long's supposed to be? Yeah. Sometimes those
you're killing this. So Subway actually had a lawsuit filed against them that their footlongs were only 10 inches. But
for the sake of the question,
Yeah, for the sake of the question, we are assuming they are the full 12 inches. You're crushing this.
I would have to say football is shorter than a foot long.
That's correct. NFL football is 11 inches long. To. Okay.
But see, if it was what I normally get, I would say that they're about the same because sometimes a foot long is definitely not a foot long.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, on to the next. So all the months have either 31, 30 days, but how many have 28 days?
Isn't it just one?
Ah, come on. Every month has 28 days in it.
Oh, damn. I wasn't ready for that one.
We're getting into the – we're messing with you stage of the test. All right.
Yeah, you got me with that one.
You're running a race, and you pass the person in third place. What place are you now in?
Pass the person. You're third.
That's correct.
You're still third, yeah. Okay.
My opinion, this is the hardest question on the test.
The next one? This one.
This one. Okay. Hold on. Let me just preface it. This is Abe's first time actually giving the test. We've given it to like six people, two prospects, but also a bunch of people outside. It's actually impossible, so don't be discouraged.
Well, that makes me feel good about myself.
I need you to spell the word 12th, as in like 10th, 11th, 12th place.
12th?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, T-W-E-L-B-E-T-H, 12th. Is that a word?
It's 10th, 11th.
It doesn't look like a word when you have it in front of you.
It's T-W-E-L-F-T-H, which is weird because 12 F-T-H. Has
T-H. What?
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
All right, last question.
I guess that makes sense. 12th. Okay.
Yeah. a monkey, squirrel, and a giraffe are racing to the top of a coconut tree. Who will get to the banana first?
Well, it's a coconut tree.
Ah. All right. We are very excited about your performance.
I was ready for that.
That was actually solid.
I'm mad about the months one. I should have got the months one.
Yes.
I thought since you got the 1,000 pounds of bricks, 1,000 pounds of feathers, that your mind was working that way, that you knew that we were just going to try and trick you up. But you honestly did pretty solid.
So based off the grading scale, that projects you out as a first ballot Hall of Famer. So we'll see, but we'll kind of go with that. So thanks for taking the test. I do have some more questions for you, though, that are not tests, but... when you do get drafted, have you thought about the first thing you're going to purchase?
The first thing I'd probably do is just pay off my truck. That'd be the simplest thing for me, just to kind of, because I'd have enough money to do that. And then depending on what city I'm in, I'd have to find a place to live. I'm not big on like designer clothes and stuff like that. I'm more of trying to find a way to make my money work for itself. So, yeah. So I don't have any crazy answer of a nice car.
What type of truck do you have? I mean, I can tell you're really Texas made.
Yeah, I just got an old Dodge Ram. It's a decent truck. It works, obviously. It gets you from point A to point B, so that's all that matters.
There you go.
Is there anyone, once you get to the league, that you're really excited to face off against?
We talked about that.
No, I mean, I thought we talked about, yeah.
Ooh.
Like that you'll take as a personal challenge that'll kind of show you where you are at this point in your career as a rookie.
I mean, at first, anybody that's playing the NFL, like I take that as a challenge because obviously it's the highest level and it's the most talented people you go against. But depending on what scheme I was in, if I was a 3 or a 5 or wherever I was playing, but I think anybody that's ever been any type of like all pro or pro bowler, it wouldn't be a specific person, but anybody that has that status of like a older veteran, that's like has that respect. And like, I get to go against them and like learn from them, like doing certain things to me that I've never seen before. Just like trying to find a way to mentally beat them. Cause I know how strong you have to be mentally to be in the league for, let's say 10 years. So I feel like going against like a veteran kind of player would be definitely a challenge that I'd be willing, or obviously willing, but excited to take on.
Right. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how weird do you think it is seeing Tom Brady in a Buccaneers jersey? Because I'm at about 11.
Yeah, I'm definitely at a 9 or a 10 on that one. And good for him and all that, but my whole childhood has seen him as a Patriot. And I, like, on just in any type of new uniform, it's definitely a 10 on the weird scale.
If anything has shown that the NFL is a business more than that move, I don't know what it is. Because if there was one player who I was would think would literally under no circumstance go to a team off of the pay, like, it just really was mind-boggling.
Very, very odd. Yeah, I agree. It's kind of a weird situation.
I do have a question. It's more of a personal thing, but the University of Texas at Austin, that's where I went to school. That's where I actually grew up. Ironically, I lived in Maryland, and I grew up a big Texas fan because of Vince Young, followed them. Then we had Colt McCoy, and then I get there, and we have the worst 4 years in Texas football history. What? And meanwhile, we always talk about, like, yeah, we get all these great recruits. And then I always tell my friends, I'm like, look around the state. Like, there's points where we were the sixth, seventh, or eighth best team. I don't even want to say best. Like, we're the third to worst team in the entire state. What was it like playing against Texas? Do you still consider us to be, like, a really big program? Or is it really just the alumni who carry it and the media who throw us on TV?
I obviously grew up a Nebraska fan and watched Texas beat Nebraska basically every time.
I mean, that one game, the Big 12 championship.
I was at that game.
That's a game we'll never forget.
I was there, sadly. But really? I definitely consider Texas a blue blood school, like that old, like the old time. Like, they got a lot of national championships. I think it's 4. And they've always just been that team that's been expected to be good, and they usually are good. And then right now, within last year, they were really good, obviously. But playing them for media, I have a lot of family that'd be there because it's in either Austin or Waco, so it's close. And then all my old friends, a lot of people went to Texas and stuff. So always, like, that game always meant a little bit more. And also, just they never gave me the time of day also. So it's kind of like I want to prove a point of, like, I was right in their backyard and they didn't, like, give me anything. So obviously, like, take a little bit of, like, a chip on my shoulder in that game of, like, to prove, like, that they missed out on me. So there's always a little bit extra. You play Texas, and it's same with like an Oklahoma school. Like, they're a big time name. Like, you see the logo, and everyone knows what it is. So they definitely have that kind of.
We're like the kings right now of giving elite players or not giving elite players offers. Like, we passed up a string of Heisman quarterbacks. We passed up on you. We passed up on literally anyone who's like pretty much. I mean, there's been players who were begging to come play for the university. Texas turns them away, and then they're winning Heisman trophies all over the country. It's pretty crazy.
It is crazy. It's just a weird how that happens, but I mean, obviously it's hard recruiting. I mean, you don't know. It's just kind of a gamble.
Yeah.
Speaking of how weird things happen, you were at Baylor for a while, obviously. You were there for all of Matt Rule's tenure. So you were there when they went 1-11, but you were also there when they went 11-3 this past year, and we're contending for a playoff spot. What the hell happened at Baylor? Like, so, what made the switch?
This is what happened at Baylor. I showed up on campus and all that stuff had happened. So then nobody wanted to be even associated with Baylor football. And we had people, we didn't have as many scholarships as other teams. So we came into that year, like, we were overwhelmed because other teams had more people, like, basically. So we weren't ready for the season and nobody really wanted us to win. Everyone hated us. So during that year when we were 1-11, we'd have a home game and there'd be nobody there. Like, not many people would be by the fourth quarter. It's just like just the alumni kind of sitting on our side. And we realized that it was kind of us versus the world. And with Coach Rule and the staff that we had, they kind of just told us, like, you don't have to worry about anybody else but yourselves. And we took that. And since we were kind of really bad my freshman year, like, I played as a true freshman eventually in that year because we were just getting beat by every team so bad. That it helped us kind of, we took our licks and, like, kind of got kicked while we were on the ground, but we kind of found a way to stand back up. And once you go through all that, like, you become just so much tougher and realize that you can't take winning for granted. So this year, like, every win we got, like, it was for the older guys and the seniors. And we were such a close team. Like, I still talk to every single one of the defensive players still now. So I mean, I feel like the reason we were good this year is because we obviously bought into what Coach Rhule was saying. And then we just eventually became that team. I think we are the toughest team in the country, and I will take it to my grave, because you look at all these teams that have a lot of these high recruits and stuff. And then if you just watch the way we played, like, we played for each other. And I think that's why we are so good this year.
So with that being said, I mean, you guys were tough. You were tough, mother. I don't want to curse on air, but with that being said, you know, you had the lead against OU, and then another just upsetting defeat against them in the championship game. Can you tell me, like, from an inside perspective, what do you think happened in those games? Is it just really, you know, it just fell apart, or you were there, you would know best?
So the first Big 12 game, Oklahoma game, what really happened was it was not just the defense, it wasn't just the offense for us. It was, we couldn't get off the field on third down, and our offense was struggling to get the ball moving as well. And we couldn't help them because we kept pinning them back deep because we couldn't get off the field. So it kind of just turned into a situation where our defense kind of just got gassed in the second half. Like, in the first half, when we were fresh, we were running around, like, they didn't know what was kind of happening. So I feel like we were kind of just, like, on top of them. They couldn't, like, stand back up and catch up to us. But in the second half, we kind of got gassed and tired because the way we played our defense, our ones basically were on the field a lot. And eventually we played a lot of plays that game, and we got kind of tired, and they ended up kind of just overtaking us at the end. And then in the Big 12 game, it was kind of just that back and forth situation. And we were kind of thrown for a loop whenever our starting quarterback got taken out, that we had our second team quarterback, and then he got pulled out. And then we had a freshman quarterback playing in the Big 12 championship, and he did great. And I'm not saying that, but that game was more of just, both games really, it just came down to, like, really two or three plays. If we would have maybe stopped one of them or made some type of big play, it would have just changed the whole game. We would have won. So both those games are great games, obviously, and we were within two or three plays, and that's what really made it the worst. And even in the Sugar Bowl, I mean, the three biggest games we had this year, we came up short, and I felt really bad for our seniors, and I feel like they deserve more. So it was tough for us, but I think a testament to who we were as a team, we played Oklahoma, we lose in overtime, and game day's there, and the whole country's watching, and we come back the next day ready to work because we know we're about to play Texas, and we have to win this game to go to the Big 12 championship. And I feel like the way our mindset was and what we've been through, that's what allowed us to come out and play so well against Texas that next week. So it's kind of just a testament to Coach Rhule and the way we played football.
I love that. Yeah, and I guess it's a testament to Texas just being an overall shitty program.
Yeah, I mean, by the end of the season, we were a shell of ourselves. I mean, not to say, I will say, by effect, we were pretty much the runners up in the national championship. We played LSU the closest out of any team in the country.
That is true. It's weird to go back and watch that film. It was kind of just like, how did Texas do this?
Literally,
like, not because of Texas, but just because LSU was amazing. It's just like watching the offense, like, it's amazing.
I mean, they made Clemson look like a peewee football team, and we were a touchdown, a red zone touchdown drop away from leading for the majority of that game. It really is wild to see the two schools go in a different direction.
Yeah, it is true.
So like you said, you thought you were one of the toughest teams in the league. If you guys had gotten the chance to play LSU, do you think, were they that much better than everyone this year? Were they really that elite? Or you think you would have been able to throw some good stuff at them?
I personally think that we would have, I'm not trying to talk bad about any type of teams or anything like that, but obviously Oklahoma got the best of us twice, but I feel like if we'd have played LSU, we would have, I think our defense would have been able to try to confuse them a little bit more.
I agree.
And obviously LSU is, they're an amazing team, and watching their film, like, their offense, and I didn't watch much their defense, but their offense was unreal. So I can't really speak much on that because it's kind of hard to say, but we got to play the second best team in the SEC against Georgia, and we gave them a good fight, and we had to do it kind of shorthanded as well. So I feel like we would have came in the game, we wouldn't have been worried about anything besides ourselves and just trying to play our game. And then kind of what we used to just say is, we're just going to go out here and see where the chips fall. And if we lose, we'll just make sure we played our hardest and gave 100%. And that's the only thing you can really do in football. So that's kind of how we would have came into that game and just gave it our all. And whatever happened, happened.
All I know is that there was one point last year. So I went to Penn State, and obviously I live off just false hope every year. losing three games and going to a New Year's Six. But there was a point last year where I was penciling in a 2-3 Penn State versus Baylor matchup. Obviously, that was before we played Ohio State, but there was a point last year where it was going to happen.
I like that.
I do think there was a degree, like you were saying, that you guys probably would have been able to smack them in the mouth. Like, LSU really didn't get hit in the mouth. Like, Alabama, even when they played, it was a super high-scoring game. They never could stop them. It was just who had the ball last, who had the ability to score. You guys would have, like you said, stuck to your guns and kind of just tried to play your game. All right, final thing here. I'm just curious about, what do you like to do outside of football?
So, me growing up, I mean, I've been football my whole life, but especially with all this stuff happening right now, the coronavirus and all that, I've been big on Netflix shows lately because I mean, I work out like twice a day and I'm eating, so I'm kind of usually a little tired throughout the day. So I watch Netflix or I watch a movie or play some video games. But if like my buddy I used to live with in Waco, he has a ranch out in Texas, and like we kind of go over there and just kind of hang out and just kind of get away from things a little bit and just kind of relax and chill. Because I mean, whenever you play football, like your life's kind of like fast paced a lot of the time, and you're doing a lot of stuff, and it's obviously a lot of physical work. So whenever you get a chance to kind of get off your feet and kind of relax, like that's more of my thing. I'm not doing all this big crazy stuff. I like kind of just going to my house and relaxing, or hanging out with a couple guys and just kind of doing our own thing. Like, I'm not even really a big hunter or fisher, but like fishing for me, like if I go with my buddy, his name's Ty, but whenever we go fishing out his ranch, like I had a great time and just kind of relaxing, just watching the sunset and stuff. So
there you go.
You watching? Nice.
You on any shows right now? I just started last night Hunters on Amazon Prime.
Roommates just started that. They say it's amazing.
Yeah, I just watched the first episode last night. Probably gonna bust out since I have nothing to do for the next. God knows exactly, how long. Yeah.
I had like two seasons left of the Peaky Blinders, and I just finished that, which is an amazing show as well.
Heard good things.
If you're into those
coming back,
I think it's either in 2 months or it's like next year. I'm not sure which year it is, but yeah, if you're like a type of, you like gangster type shows, like that show is amazing. But I need to find a new one, so I might try Hunters.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you know how it is. I'll probably watch another 3 episodes tonight.
So we might have Denzel on the pod on the draft series. How do you think he'll do on the test?
I wouldn't be surprised if he does well, but there's no way he gets that Big Mac question right. I think that question is
the hardest one, in your opinion.
I'm just proud of my pride for McDonald's that I got the $4 because I know.
Right. You should have seen Abe and I's faces. We were like, wait, what? No one's gotten that.
You think he's going to do well, but just so you know, I'm going to let him know that you talked all the shit on him. And that
I like
you
that. Said, I, even if he does well, I know I did at least a little bit better than him. I know that.
Yeah. And we'll throw him off. We'll make him messed up.
That's funny.
James, thank you for coming on. Final thing, can you just shout out where people can find you on social media?
So I have Instagram and Twitter, and both of them are either James_Husker38 or just James_Husker38. And that's both I'm just on Instagram and Twitter.
Cool. So it's so funny because I was looking up your socials. I was curious what you were into posting and stuff like that. And now I'm guessing, I was like, what's Husker? What's that come from? That's literally the Nebraska Cornhusker.
Well, what it actually comes from, my middle name's actually Husker.
Ah, okay.
So it's like my actual name. Yeah. A lot of people don't really believe that, but it's on my license. So.
That makes sense. I'll just, well, my middle name's Longhorn, so that makes sense. All right, James, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Best of luck, James.
Thank you so much.
Take it easy.
Thank you guys for listening to our James Lynch conversation. James, if you're listening, I know you are. You are going to be a beast in the NFL. I can't wait to see who grabs you early in the draft. James Lynch, Defensive Player of the Year at Baylor. James Lynch, future Pro Bowler in the NFL. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Snapback Draft Series. We will catch you very soon.